Amen. Praise God. I'm Michael Jakes, and here once again with The Bible Speaks Live, once again coming to you with a word for your heart and for your soul. We pray that all is well with you and the Lord tonight as we open up His word. Amen. We are streaming right now live over Facebook and YouTube and Spreaker.com. As always, Spreaker.com is our podcast platform. You go there, you'll find all the other podcasts that the Lord has enabled us to be able to produce over the years. Amen. You can also go to our website, which is thatstheword.org. And you can also go to our YouTube channel, which is That's the Word Ministries. And if you have not done so already, you can become a subscriber to our channel. Amen. So we pray that you'll be able to stay with us for a bit tonight, because our topic tonight is one that is close to our heart. Amen. It is something that I've known about, heard about, and you've probably known about and heard about. For me, it's been for years. Amen. And we want to tackle this subject. Coming to you straight from my heart, and just praying that the Lord will have His way here tonight. Amen. Our subject tonight is, do you really want revival? Amen. Do you really want revival? Amen. We're going to look at the truth about real revival. Amen. Because there are revivals that are real and there are revivals that are unreal. Amen. But we'll get into all of that. Once we pray, we'll get right into the Word of God, and we're going to do so right after this. Amen. Amen. We are back. Amen. If you have not done so already, you can pick up a copy of our brand new book entitled Churchified or Sanctified, Exploring the Dangers of Religion and the Glory of Relationship. It is available on Amazon.com. Amen. You can pick yours up at any time right there. Amen. So we pray that you will do so. Amen. Let's open up in a word of prayer tonight and ask the Lord to be with us as we share His word here tonight. Lord, we bless Your name. We thank You, as always, once again, for giving us this opportunity to open up Your word. Lord, our subject tonight, as every time we come together, is a very serious one, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we pray that once again You will give us grace, that You will not allow us to do any violence to Your word. Lord, You will have Your way. Bless all of those who are under the sound of Your word right now. And I pray that all of us might be moved and touched and encouraged and empowered even by Your word tonight, Lord Jesus. Let all flesh take a step aside, backward. Lord, we don't want any flesh to be glorified in Your presence. Lord, You have Your way. Lord, be with us once again. We thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as we have spoken, our subject tonight is, do you really want revival? Now, revival is something that was placed upon my heart years ago. I had a pastor, my former pastor, when I got saved. His heart's cry was, Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. Amen. That's what he prayed for. Amen. He never saw the revival that he prayed about. Yes, there are little pockets where the Lord moved, where the Lord would rain down His presence, but it yet wasn't revival as I am sure he was praying about. Amen. But revival is a very serious matter. And when we talk about revival, revival is something that the Lord wants. Revival is something that the Lord wants. Revival is something that the Lord desires for His people. But revival will come at a high price. Now, let's talk about what revival is. Very, very simply, revival is simply a powerful flow of God's presence into the life of an individual or the life of the church. Now, there are many, heard many different definitions, but as we put it together in this particular at this particular time, you'll begin to see and understand just what a revival is. Now, revival, once again, is a word. It is a word that has been thrown around very loosely in Christian circles. You can go to many churches, and they will tell you that they're having a revival today. And I understand the use and the meaning of the word revival when it is used in that way. Amen. It's not meant to be used frivolously. It's not meant to be used in a way that's not biblical. And I'm sure that those who use it don't mean it in that way. But once again, what we want and what the Lord wants is a heaven-sent revival. And when we have man-made revivals, that's the desire. That may well be the desire of the hearts of leadership or an individual. That may be the heart's desire. And individuals can be revived and the church not be revived. Amen. But our desire is to see revival, not just a revival. Notice the omission of the word "a" as we have put this together. Do we really want a revival? It stated, do we really want revival? Amen? Because revival is meant to be progressive. Progressive. It goes on and on. It should go on and on. It's not static. It doesn't just sit still and nothing happen. When revival takes place, things happen. Amen? You can just go throughout scripture. And you will see the different things that happened when the people were revived. Amen. And we're going to touch on some of those things here tonight. Amen. But the question is, why don't we have revival? Why don't we have revival? Because once again, revival comes at a high price. Revival is going to come at a high price. Listen, when revival comes, there'll be the finger pointing will be gone. When revival comes, political preferences and all those types of things will be gone. When revival comes, there'll be no bickering over social issues. Amen. When revival comes, none of these things will matter anymore. Because when revival comes, notice what the word revive means. It means to make alive again. And it's an indication when revival is needed, it's an indication that there is deadness. There's deadness, okay? And we need revival to draw us back into the life that the Lord wants for us. Now, let me make this statement. There can be no revival without the cross of Jesus Christ. No revival. There's no such thing as a true revival, a real revival, without the cross of Jesus Christ. If we're talking about the cross, if we're talking about revival, and it's a going back, which it is, which we'll get into, it's the cross. There can be no true revival without the cross. And I know how most revivals that are brought to us by churches are. You invite a guest speaker, which is nothing wrong with inviting a guest speaker. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having a great choir. Nothing wrong with all of these things. All of these little components that we put in that we think mean revival. Yes and no. Yes and no. Amen. God can use anyone. Once again, God can use anyone. Part of revival will be a powerful preaching of the word, of the truth of the word, of the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ. Revival can come, but there are other, when we're talking about the cross, there are going to be several other components that go with the fact that we are brought back to to the cross. It's going to result in several things, amen? But why don't we have revival? I'm talking about a heaven-sent, God-birthed revival. Why doesn't it happen? Amen? And as we've titled it, do we really want it? There are some reasons. Number one, there is discord. Discord. And discord is the exact, total opposite of one accord. Amen? Discord. And let me give you some words that discord, synonyms of discord. Strife, conflict, hostility, dissension, all of these things, it's discord. Amen? And as we've spoken just a moment ago, discord can come over political factions and social issues and all sorts of other things. Over the past year and a half or two, we've seen bitterness. I've seen bitterness and anger and all sorts of different things. Victory all come from the hearts and mouths of God's people concerning these issues. Amen. And God cannot dwell in that type of atmosphere. Amen. When we feel that we are right, and when we feel that there is no other way. Now, I'm not getting political and saying which way is right or which way is wrong. Listen, revival, when revival happens, all of that won't matter. It really won't matter. Amen. We'll get back to square one. We'll tell you about what square one is as we move on. But discord, here's what it says in Proverbs chapter number 6. And verse number 19, Proverbs 6 and verse number 19. Here's what it says. Well, let's start. We have to start in 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and here's the last one, he that soweth discord among brethren. Amen. One of the seven things that God hates, that we have seen disagreements happen over trivial things in the long run, in the scheme of things, these political and social things are very trivial when we see the condition of the world. When we realize that, when we begin to realize that all of these different things that Christians have come to argue over and bicker over, when we realize that they are distractions, that the enemy has caused these things to be distractions, we will step away. We need to step away because the world is watching. Don't think that the world doesn't see and doesn't know what happens in the realm of the church. They may not understand it all, but when things become fleshly and worldly and carnal, the world understands that. And when they see those things happening, that draws them away from the church. Our witness is supposed to be about Christ. But if we're fighting and bickering among one another over these types of things, the world is going to sit back and go, what's wrong with y'all? Okay? And so, discord is a reason why we don't see revival. Amen. Psalm 133 and verse number 1. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In unity. In one accord. Amen. Fellowship. It is good and pleasant in the sight of God. But if that's not taking place, then the Lord will not work. The Lord will not work. In a church where people are sniping one another and don't get along, and I can't stand that one and I don't like this one, do you really think that the Spirit of God is going to come into that atmosphere and work? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Especially when each group believes that they are right. And I don't talk to this one. And I don't talk to this one. I was in a church several years back, And I left, I walked out, and I remembered something, and I had to go back to retrieve it. So I asked an usher to go back to that particular seat and retrieve what I had left behind. They went halfway, came back to me, and told me, "I'm sorry, I can't do it because I don't speak to that person." That's what an usher told me. I don't speak to that person. Now, how can that type of atmosphere, how can the Lord work in that type of atmosphere? When people are standing and sitting and praying and praising and worshiping right beside each other, but I can't stand you and I don't like you. No, God is not going to work. There's not going to be a true revival there. Amen. Secondly, what I call the three C's, why we don't have revival: there is comfort, there is compromise, and there is contentment. Comfort, compromise, and contentment. We are happy in the state that we are. Everything is good. A word that was going around in the 80s and 90s, I believe. Everything is copacetic. Everything is fine. Everything is good. No, we have no problems. We have no problems. There's comfort. There's comfort. We're relaxed. We're at ease. We are in a state of assurance. We're fine. Everything is fine. What we're going to realize is each one of these components, the reasons why we don't have revival, they're all connected. They're all connected. One will lead to another. Amen? So there is discord. There is comfort. There is contentment. There is compromise. Amen? Compromise. Amen? A deadly dynamic in the church. Compromise. Next, one leads to another. Comfort, compromise, and contentment will lead to whitewashing. Whitewashing. One of the reasons why we don't have revival is because of whitewashing. What is that? Whitewashing. Whitewashing sin. And that is a deliberate attempt to conceal. And I'm talking about sin. So it's a deliberate attempt to conceal sin. Either conceal it from others, if it's on a personal level, because we want people to see our best us. Whatever the best us, we don't want people to see who we truly are, whoever we truly are. We're supposed to be children of God. Obviously, we're not perfect. But we always put, and there's nothing wrong, nothing intrinsically wrong with it. We always want to put our best foot forward, as we say. But when it comes to whitewashing, that's the covering up of sinful behavior and sinful acts. That is something that needs to be remedied. Amen. Whether it's concealing sin before others, whether it's trying to conceal sin from God, which is a ridiculous thing to do, but people do it, try to do such a thing. Remember Ananias and Sapphira, they were trying to get away with something that they figured God would not really call them out on. And also, whether we can whitewash sin to ourselves. That's basically lying to ourselves. That's not really there. That's nothing. It's not a big deal. That's not sin. That's where we begin to justify our own sin. No, that once again needs to be remedied. We need revival. And if we don't come clean about our own sinfulness, we didn't read a scripture tonight, but I'm going to go to it right now. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, you call yourself a Christian, shall humble themselves, get low, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We'll get into all of this. Turn from their wicked ways. Wicked ways. How dare you? I'm your child. I'm a Christian. I'm not wicked. I have the life of the Lord in me. I have his spirit in me. But even God's people, you and I, we have things about us that are not right. Not right, and we are quick to justify, at least in our minds. Well, if they didn't do this, I wouldn't have done that. If they didn't say that, I wouldn't have said that. Somehow we sometimes try to justify our bad behavior. Once again, this is something that needs to be remedied and rectified. Amen. We need revival. We must not attempt to whitewash sinfulness in ourselves or in our churches. We must not whitewash sin. Now, one leads to another. Next, we're talking about why we don't have revival. Pride. I'm okay. I'm good. We have that Pharisee's mentality. I'm good. Everyone else is bad. Everyone else is carrying on, and everyone else is doing this, but I'm okay. I'm okay. We're okay. The church, individual churches, the church at large, and more importantly, as we're talking here at this time, individual churches have become, in their own sense, several of the churches in the book of Revelation that Jesus spoke to. We don't realize as a people or as an individual that we are poor, miserable, blind, and naked. We don't see ourselves in that way. We think that we are increased in goods, as Jesus spoke, and that all is well, but that's not the case. We need revival. We need revival. Amen. Pride will take it away. We just read from Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 19. And the first one on the list is a proud look. A proud look. Amen. Pride, the Lord cannot stomach pride. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride is what ushered in sin into this world. It was sin, Satan. Satan, he was lifted up in his heart. Bible says until sin was found in him, that sin was pride. I will lift up myself. All those five I wills that he proclaimed, that God would not have it. Pride. And when we begin to exhibit the same characteristic that Satan, that caused Satan to be thrown out of heaven, it's not good. And so the Lord needs to move. But as long as pride remains fixed in a life, in a church, then the Holy Spirit cannot move. Once again, if these things are fixed, pride is something that can get a stranglehold on a life or in a church. We are this church because we do this. We are this church because of all the people that come. We are this church because of our pastor. We are this church. Listen, those things don't amount to anything. They don't amount to anything. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We need revival. Revival. Amen. Once again, pride is going to lead to another vice that is problematic when it comes to revival, why we don't have it. And that is apathy. Apathy. Simple apathy. Once again, a lack of interest or concern. Once again, it's an everything is all right type of attitude. It's not important. Revival is not that important. What's the big deal? We come to church, we hear, we listen, we pray, we worship, we listen to the music, and we go home. Everything is fine. What's the big deal? We don't. What's revival? What, we have revival every time we come into church. Listen, if people remain the same, if people don't change, if pride remains, if the compromise remains, if contentment remains, if comfort remains. Remember what happens when we get too comfortable. We spoke about this several weeks ago, about the comfort zone. When we are too comfortable, God cannot move. He cannot move. Don't think that because you sit back and you know everything and what's good. No, the Lord will not, cannot move in that type of atmosphere. We must denounce it. No, no, we will not be relaxed in his presence. No, 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 no. We must push that aside. Don't allow compromise and comfort to get into your life. Once again, this apathy, amen, this attitude of apathy arises from, as we said, it arises from pride. Pride. And the Lord cannot move. The Lord cannot move. Listen, real revival, heaven sent, God breathed, revival is going to, it will move beyond denominations. It will move beyond denominations. It will. A true heaven-sent revival, it will knock down those barriers of my denomination is better than your denomination, and your denomination doesn't do that, and we believe this, so we are superior. No, 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 no. Knock all that down. Knock all that down. Listen, man, we have created denominations. And we understand that denominations seem to have their place. Different groups believe different things. We understand that. But once again, it's a product of man. It is a product of man. And each denomination actually basically believes that they are right. Okay? Baptists believe that they're right. Pentecostals certainly believe that they're right. Presbyterians believe that they're right. Lutherans believe that they are right. And each one of these, Jesus never spoke about denominations. Once again, he spoke about unity, coming together. That's what Jesus was about. And what happened after Jesus left here? Paul said that after he leaves, after he passes on, the wolves would come in and devour the flock. And that's what happened. That's what happened. Especially after Paul and after John the Revelator, after he passed away, little by little, the wolves came in. And teachings changed, and doctrines changed, and this became that, and that became this, and it was all over a period of several hundred years, and over a thousand years, things changed, and denominations sprang up. We believe this, and you don't believe that, so we had to separate from you, because we have to start our own, but that's how it is. But revival will break that. Break that, because certain basic truths will begin to be evident when there is true revival. Amen. Finally, why we don't have revival? It's simple ignorance. Ignorance. And by ignorance, I'm not talking about next level ignorance. There's two types of ignorance. There is the ignorance that you simply don't know because you've never heard, you've never learned, and you just don't understand. And that's the type of ignorance that I'm speaking of. Revival is not something, a concept that you have ever heard of. We must not think that everyone knows about what revival is and the necessity of it. The second level or next level ignorance is ignorance that just doesn't know because they think they know. It's not knowing that you don't know. Ignorance is when you just don't know. But next level ignorance is believing that you know, but you don't have a clue. That's next level ignorance. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about ignorance concerning revival. Amen. Some people just don't know or understand the concept. Now, once again, the Lord wants to send revival. We sing about it. We talk about it. We pray about it. God is sovereign. Why doesn't God just do it? If it's what he wants, why doesn't he just do it? Because as I said, it comes at a high price. If he wants to do it, he can do it, right? Yes, he can do anything. But once again, revival doesn't come easy. And there are certain conditions that must be met in order for revival to come. Amen. Number one, There must be a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. And I know we will all say, I have that. I have that. I don't want to sin. That all of us will say that. I will say that. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. An old song I used to sing, to be pleasing you, pleasing you. This is all I really want to do. I just want to please you. That's it. And that should be the heart of all of us. And I believe deep down, that's where we all are. We just want to please the Lord. Amen. That's what we just want to please the Lord. Psalm 42 and verse number 1. As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David was in a dry place in his life. He once again, David was on the run, and he was away from the people of God, away from the house of God, and he just wanted God. Have you ever been there that you just want God? More of you, the song says. More of you, more of you. I've had all, but what I need is more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What the scripture say? Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. For what? For they shall be filled. They shall be filled. So do you find yourself today hungering and thirsting after his righteousness? Amen. Revival will not come. It will not come until we abandon ourselves and surrender to him. Abandon self and surrender to him. Abandon your self-will, what you want to do. Abandon your own, what you want. Nevertheless, thy will be done. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Many times we want Jesus, we want the Lord just to enter in and become a part of what we're doing. Lord, here it is. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm trying to get done, what I want to do. Lord, come on board and help me out. Help me accomplish this. It sounds right. But Lord, the prayer should be, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Not what I want to do. Not what I feel is the right thing to do. Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. That's where we ought to be found. Amen. So there needs to be a hungering and a thirsting. If there's going to be real revival, whether it's on an individual level, and I believe that's where it needs to start, on an individual level, amen, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Secondly, there has to be a brokenness. That's a word that we don't hear anymore. It's not a word that I hear anymore. Brokenness. A brokenness over sin. Let me read what it says in Psalm 51. And 17, you know that great Psalm 51 where David pours out his heart after he had sinned with Bathsheba. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Thou wilt not despise. A particular author that I read her book had something to say about brokenness. And I read this several years ago, and I've never forgotten it. It touched me. It meant something to me when I read it. It's a paragraph. Let me read what it says. It says, brokenness is not a feeling or an emotion. Rather, it requires a choice, an act of the will. Further, this choice is not primarily a one-time experience, though there may be a profound and life-changing spiritual turning points in our lives. It goes on to say, true brokenness is an ongoing, constant way of life. True brokenness is a lifestyle, a moment-by-moment lifestyle of agreeing with God about the true condition of my heart and life. It says, brokenness is the shattering. Brokenness is the shattering of my self-will, the absolute surrender of my will to the will of God. Brokenness over sin. When have we become broken over our own sinfulness? Not pointing out somebody else's sin. Look at her. Look at him. How could they do that? What's wrong with... When have we become broken over our own sinfulness? I'm talking about the Isaiah chapter 6 way. You know Isaiah chapter number 6. When Isaiah pours out his heart to the Lord after he saw the Lord. You see, we have this thought and we have this idea in our minds that when we are within a revival, we have this notion that there's going to be shouting and rejoicing and dancing and singing and all sorts of things. And that those may be some of the components that may accompany revival. But Isaiah gives us the blueprint of what revival will really look like when you come face to face with God. And when that happens, you begin to see yourself. Isaiah chapter number 6, starting in verse number 5. Isaiah 6 and verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. When have you and I called ourselves undone? In other words, he says, listen, I'm a mess. He says, I am a mess. Amen. And that doesn't mean that you're living in sin and doing terrible things. And that's not the idea. That's not the thought process. That's not what's going on. But once again, the condition of his own heart, the sinfulness in his heart, the things that never get spoken, the things that are in our minds that never come forth, but they are there. He says, listen, I am undone. He says, because I am a man of unclean lips. He calls it out. What caused him to call out his own condition? What caused him to do this? He says, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When you see Jesus for who he is and what he has done, when you get a renewed view of the cross and just what brought Jesus to the cross, which was your sin and my sin, when that happens, you begin to see yourself. You begin to melt in his presence. Yes, there is an element of praise when we go back to the cross. Absolutely, there's an element of praise and honor and worship and thanksgiving when we go back to the cross. But there's also a revelation of yourself. He shines the light on us. What is it? Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Let me go there real quick. Psalm 139, starting in verse number 23. Psalm 139, verse number 23. Search me, O God, and know. He says, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God. If you're really serious about revival, that's going to be part of your prayer. Lord, search me. Show me me. Don't show me everybody else's sin. I'm well aware of everybody else's sin. No. When you want true revival, Lord, show me myself. Show me myself. Amen. And listen, when you begin to pray for revival, shut yourself in with God. Drown out the voices. Drown out the influences. Drown out the distractions around you. Lord, show me you. Do what Hezekiah did. Turn your face to the wall. If not literally, spiritually, an attitude. Turn your face to the wall. I don't see you. I don't hear you. I don't know. Lord, just show me me. And the Lord will move. The Lord will begin to work in your life. Finally, we're talking about the conditions that need to be met in order for a true revival to happen. Humility. Let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 15, Isaiah 57 and 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. There's that word contrite and humility again. To receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. That word contrite is actually the word broken. Brokenness, humility, hungering, and thirsting after righteousness are all components of true revival. True revival. And if one of those components are not in place, listen, revival happens when these things are in place. Hunger, thirst, brokenness, humility. When those three components exist in a life, in a church, we will see God begin to move. If the people are here, one accord, you're going to see God move. You're going to see God move. Now, when God moves, once again, this may not be a wholesale what we have conjured in our minds and our hearts, what a revival is. There may not be a whole lot of dancing and screaming and jumping and running and moving. And It may not. There may not be tears. They may. Everyone is different, but there may not be tears. But there's an awareness. An awareness. When I was saved. Now, once again, revival is not salvation. Salvation is a unique event in itself. And so I'm just talking about when I got saved, I couldn't stop crying. When the Lord touched me that first time in my life, the tears would not end. I could not make myself stop crying. That was how my life, how my spirit was handling what had taken place in my life. Some people, when they got saved, never shed a tear. Never shed a tear at all. But the Lord moved. Now, there was another time in my life, several years later, from that point in time that I got saved, I had backslidden. And I came back to the Lord. And I came back to the Lord that Friday night. And I kneeled down. And I prayed and asked the Lord to cleanse me and wash me. I did a David prayer. This was a David prayer. Lord, forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Lord, purge me. And Lord, take me back. And it was, you would think that there would be tears flowing. Not a tear. Not a tear. I was revived on that particular night. Revived. Not one. But when I got up from prayer, that all night prayer meeting, when I got up, I knew that something happened. Something took place. I knew that the Lord had taken me back. I knew that I was revived, that I was ready to start my life again. Amen. I was ready to start again. But once again, there were no tears. And so the Lord is going to move differently with different people at different times. So don't think that revival means loud music, loud shouting. It may not. Once again, it may not. When we're talking about brokenness, that's not a time to get happy when we're broken by sin. When we become aware of our sin, there's a forthcoming. And it's not the Lord showing us how dirty we are and how... No. Once again, Lord, cleanse me. Wash me. Make me new. That's what happens when revival takes place. Now, there are going to be some powerful results of revival. Powerful results. Number one, there's going to be a renewed love for God. Revival is renewal. Amen. Revival is not salvation, as I just said. Revival is not salvation. The world that needs to be saved, they need to be regenerated. The world that is already saved, we need revival. We need an element of life restored. And when life happens, when we are revived again, there's going to be a renewed love for God. I heard this song just earlier tonight, and I hadn't heard this song in a while, and I was brought to tears just by hearing the song and beginning to sing the song again. The song says, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you and lift you up and magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's what's going to happen. A renewed love for God when revival happens. Secondly, there's going to be a renewed love for the people of God. For the people of God. Once again, that discord is over. The sniping is over. The bitterness is over. The anger, the dissension is over. When real revival comes, that's what will take place. That's what will take place. Notice we didn't mention repentance yet. We didn't mention confession yet. All of those, once again, are components of what is going to take place when true revival takes place. We're going to repent. We just read it from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, that's repentance, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal of their land. But we have to do something. We have to turn. We have to forsake our wicked ways. Amen. Next, when real revival comes, there's going to be a renewed love. A renewed love, rather, let me say, a renewed passion for souls. A renewed passion for souls. How important is that? You see, the renewed passion for souls is, if I may say, the number one reason why we need revival. Because while we are bickering and fighting and arguing over these things that we managed to fight over, that folk managed to fight over, the world, the unsaved world, stands back and watch, as we said, but they remain unsaved. They remain unsaved. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light to be witnesses and to make disciples of all nations. He told us to go and preach the gospel. He wasn't talking to preachers. He doesn't say do it and go stand behind a pulpit and preach the gospel. That's not what he meant. He's talking about go and proclaim. Go and make it known. Go and tell somebody about Jesus. Where you are, where you go. Tell somebody about who Jesus is. That's why we need revival. As long as we remain staunch and remain apathetic and remain prideful and ignorant and comfortable, the world remains in sin, not knowing who Jesus is. The reason why we need revival, because the Lord wants to give us a renewed passion for souls. Evangelism will become a priority. You see, we show up at church many times and all we want to do, we want to come together and just worship and praise. And not a thing wrong with worship and praise. No. Not going to get me to say there's something wrong with worship and praise, because there is not anything wrong with worship and praise. Anything. But when we come together, we come to God's house, which is the house of prayer. We need to come together, become equipped so that we can go and tell somebody about Jesus. It's the last thing. Remember, the last thing that somebody says before they leave this earth is most times, if not every time, the most important thing. It's the thing that's on their heart and on their mind. And Jesus' last word before he left here was, go and preach the gospel. Do that. Do that. And that's what we must be doing. What he did while he was here is what we should be doing while he is not here in flesh. Of course, we know his presence is here. But we should be carrying on his work. Amen. finally, it's going to be a renewed passion for the Word of God. Amen. Discernment. When we get a renewed passion for the Word of God, it's going to take us back into the Word, and we're going to have a renewed passion, and we will begin to discern, and we will begin to draw ourselves out of error. Amen. And when we go back into the Word and become passionate about the Word, the Holy Spirit will begin to open up our eyes that we can see things that we have not yet seen. Amen. I'm not talking about something new that nobody else ever heard of. I'm talking about He's going to take us into His Word and show us what His Word is. He's going to draw some of us out of error. He's going to draw some of us out of false teaching. But once again, this is all going to be a product of revival, new life. New life is going to bring new revelation of what the Word says. Once again, I'm not talking about some crazy new thing God told me. No, I'm talking about what the Word actually says. Revival. Revival will bring renewed discernment because you'll have now a passion for the Word. What does the Word say? What does it say? Not what I have read into it, but what is it saying to me? Amen. The Holy Spirit will never lead an individual into error. The Holy Spirit can never lead anyone into false teaching. If someone is saying that this is what the Lord told me, and they spell out something that is error, something that is not true, the Holy Spirit did not tell them that. They got that from themselves. Or, unfortunately, they got that from demons. Doctrines of devils. Amen. Seducing spirits. Not saying that the individual is possessed, but they have heard from seducing spirits. Speaking, telling lies. So that's what revival is. Do we really want revival? Do we really want revival? I do. Lord, send a revival. Send a revival. Lord, let it start in me. O Holy Ghost, revivals come from thee. Send a revival. Start the work in me. Thy word declares, thou wilt supply the need. For blessing now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Lord, let the revival start in me. In me. That's it. Lord, have your way. Amen. And when we come to the Lord this way, we'll see the Lord work. We will see the Lord work. Amen. Lord, I bless your name tonight. I've sensed your presence throughout. Lord, we pray that we have spoken something, Lord, that will make some type of impact in the hearts and lives of those under the sound of your word at this time. Lord, we've spoken from our heart, Lord, what you have given to us. Lord, we know that the world itself is in a terrible predicament right now. We know that the enemy is trying to attack the church. But Lord, we your people, we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church, Lord. You are yet building your church. People are saved every day somewhere in this world. And Lord, we just pray that we are part of what you are doing in your church today. Lord, we call upon your name right now because we desire revival. Lord, we want to be drawn closer to you, Lord Jesus. And being revived is more than just drawing close. Lord, your word declares we are, Lord, I want to follow hard after you. Follow hard means to just stay close by your side. But revival has that component also. But Lord, we just want, Lord, for you to give us new life. Breathe new life into us. Lord, pour out your spirit upon us. Lord, I pray you'll have your way. Lord, we know that when we are revived, we will begin to see things differently. Just as we saw things differently when we got saved, we began to see and understand different things that we didn't see before because we have now. We have your Holy Spirit in us. We became new creations in you. Now, Lord, we yet have that new life in us, Lord Jesus, your spirit. But, Lord, the light has grown dim. We've allowed different things, worldliness and all sorts of things to come in and sort of mar our vision. Lord, revive your people. that we may praise your name, that we may rejoice in you. Lord, have your way tonight. Bless each and every one under the sound of your word tonight, Lord, whoever they may be. Lord, whoever's watching now, whoever's watching later, Lord, I pray that your spirit might accompany this time in your word. Lord, have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. We honor him and we just bless him. Amen. God bless you, my sister Crystal. Amen. Amen. Jesus promised that if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. All we have to do is ask and believe. Amen. 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 God bless you, Sharon and Ava. God bless you all. Amen. Love has a name. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. We just thank the Lord. Amen. And we just honor him and bless him and thank him for all that he is doing. Amen. Shifra, yes, deception is real. Amen. Deception is real. Amen. So we just bless you. We just bless the Lord and thank him for what he is doing in our midst. We honor him. We praise him. We thank him. Amen. We also invite you to join us throughout this week. Amen. This ministry is dedicated to the propagation and proclamation of the word of God. We do preach and teach the message of the cross. It is embedded in all that we do and say. Amen. And so we pray that you will help us to get this message out simply by sharing out this page. If you're watching over social media, over Facebook, just share out this page that others also may be blessed. You can find out more about this ministry by going to our website at thatstheword.org. You can also go to our YouTube channel, which is That's the Word Ministries. And if you have not become a subscriber, you can do so. Once again, also, as we said, share out this page. And we invite you to join us throughout the week. Amen. Tomorrow night, we'll be here with our first principles of the Christian life as we continue in our line by line podcast. Amen. We are probably going to be closing out our series on prayer essentials. We're going to bring it all together tomorrow night. Remember, we've been talking about the fact that prayer is a battle. Amen. It is a battle. And we've been focusing mainly on the intercessory component of prayer. Amen. And we will once again begin to close out our time in speaking about prayer on tomorrow night. Amen. Don't forget also on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, you can find us here at 11:30 a.m. If you can't watch us at that time, you can watch us on the replay. That's the Sunday sermon series, Uncompromised Preaching from the Word of God. We pray that, as always, on this coming Sunday, the Lord has a word for you that will be helpful, beneficial, encouraging, and empowering. Amen. Once again, that's at 11:30 on Sunday morning. Don't forget also on Monday night. Monday night, we'll be here with the Line by Line podcast. We are currently in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 13. Chapter 13 so far, chapter 13 contains several of Jesus' parables, and we will continue in chapter 13. Remember, the Line by Line podcast is a Bible study that we are going through the Word of God, currently going through the New Testament. In the order, we are going through the New Testament in the order that the books were written. Amen. If you're just joining us for the first time, we're in Matthew now, but we did not start in Matthew. We started in the book of James. Traditionally, James is the first book that was written. We know that there are many different views as to which book was written when, but we have chosen the book of James as that first book, and now we are up to the book of Matthew, and we do go one verse at a time. And what makes it a bit unique is that we are making application along the way. We're not just reading scripture and going to the next one and going to the next one. Whenever possible, we are making application along the way. Amen. So that's on Monday nights. Amen. So we just bless the Lord and honor him and thank him for giving us an opportunity to praise his name. Don't forget that you can pick up our latest book, Churchified or Sanctified. It is now available on Amazon.com, exploring the dangers of religion and the glory of relationship. Amen. That is once again available on Amazon.com. Amen. Don't forget also that you can find this particular ministry all over whatever podcast platform that you happen to subscribe to, you'll probably find us there. These are just a few of them, but Spreaker.com is our main podcast platform. You go there, you'll find all of the podcasts, as we said earlier at the inception of this podcast, all of the podcasts that the Lord has graced us to be able to produce over the years. Amen. So once again, we pray that you will avail yourself to those podcasts. Amen. And also, as always, shout out to those who do listen in over Spreaker.com from across the United States and around the world. We see you in your particular country and city, and we just say praise the Lord and thank you for downloading our podcast to your device. Amen. We thank you so much. Amen. Well, I'm Michael Jakes, and it's been a pleasure to be here tonight. I pray that tonight you will take these words to heart. Amen. And read, study, and see where the Lord has you when it comes to this matter of revival. Amen. I believe that it's very important that God's people come into a place of revival. Amen. So have a good night. Be blessed. And hopefully you can join us tomorrow night on the Line by Line podcast. Amen. Until then, God bless you. Have a good night.